Morning, everybody. Carl, are we on? Testing. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Spring Bump. Mayor Hale sends his regards. He is in Europe lobbying the Secretary of Transportation for more funding for good things. And as the soon-to-be outgoing president of the council, it's my honor to convene this gathering. We're going to take up the spring supplemental budget. Andrew Scott put in an excuse this morning. He's not here. Apparently, he's claiming strep throat. Okay. Did I just violate HIPAA when I said that? Probably. So we'll turn it over to our friends at the budget office to walk us through the spring bump.
Again, good morning, commissioners and citizen advisors. Jeremy Patton with the city budget office. I'm here with Jessica Kennard, who is our budget monitoring process coordinator, so she can answer all the tough questions if I can't get the answers to them. We're here to talk about the spring bump. As most of you know, the spring bump is a time, I don't know, maybe Frida might not know this, but it's a time for bureaus to kind of come in and have any last minute adjustments for the year, last chances for general fund contingency requests. It's a time that we use to carry funds over from the current year into next year. It's a time to come forward and ask for compensation set aside requests, which are kind of a brief overview is when we budget, we set aside certain funds in a contingency account for cost of living increases and for health benefit increases. Those don't go into the general fund bureau's budgets directly. We'll hold them aside, and if they need it, they come back in the spring bump and ask for it. So there's a lot of requests that you've seen today for those. And if nothing happens in the spring bump, if a bureau still needs to come back, we do have one more opportunity in the over expenditure ordinance that will appear in June. So there is one last opportunity, but we try and capture everything we can in the spring. It's also the last chance for bureaus to come forward and ask for new positions for the current year. Let's see here. So what I'll focus on mostly today is the general fund requests. And you'll see you have what we like to call the F1 report or the general fund reconciliation report in front of you. It's the nice orange and black and white report. It basically highlights the different requests that came in. As I just mentioned, we have compensation set-aside requests. We have some mid-year reductions, which those are a kind of a combo of mid-year reductions and new revenues coming into the general fund, which I'll talk about. There are some new requests, program carryover requests, which I briefly mentioned, and then we have some technical adjustments that we can go through. So just kind of starting off with the big picture, general fund contingency. Coming into the spring bump, we had a general fund contingency of about $1.1 million. This didn't include the $900,000 that we set aside in the fall bump for the parks arbitration costs. So in the total contingency, we can look at it at about $2 million, but $1.1 million of that was the unrestricted contingency. We also have a compensation set aside of about $6.5 million. Overall, in the mayor's proposed supplemental budget, the net draw in contingency is about $500,000. I'll go into just a little bit of detail on that. We drew about $6 million, as you can see from the report, for compensation set aside. We had a net of about $400,000 draw in unrestricted contingency. We spent the $900,000 that we set aside in the policy reserves for the parks arbitration costs. We added about $1.7 million into unrestricted contingency related to the mid-year reductions, which we'll go forward in a little more detail in just a minute. And we deposited about $5.2 million into contingency for program carry forwards for next year. In addition to these changes, we also set aside $1.7 million from unrestricted contingency we put into a policy reserve for the Columbia River Levee project. We had additional contingency this year. It's a project that will need to move forward for next year. So basically, we're setting those funds aside, and we'll re-budget those funds in the 16-17 budget as part of the mayor's proposed budget.
Where is that?
The Columbia River is not on here because it's basically we're just moving those funds from unrestricted contingency to a policy reserve, so they're staying within contingency for the current year, but we're setting them aside so we can spend them next year. So after all that's said and done, we end up with about $700,000 in unrestricted contingency for the current year. About $500,000 in the compensation set-aside is left. We have that $1.7 million in the policy reserve for the levy project, and that $5.2 million in program carryover set-aside. That's kind of the overall picture of where we stand with general fund contingency as of now.
That was the most efficient hearing I think we've ever had. With hearing no objection, okay.
So moving forward now, I'll kind of talk through the general fund reconciliation report. Starting from the top, you can see we had about $6 million in compensation set-aside requests. Four bureaus came forward with those requests: police, fire, emergency communications, and parks. The park's request does include their compensation set aside and an additional $700,000 for the park's arbitration costs for the current year. The park's request is about $215,000 less than their initial request. This is due to they had requested the funding and wanted to realign that to materials and services for the park's STEAM program. And so the CBO had recommended against, and the mayor has agreed to not allow or to not approve parks to come forward with that additional $215,000 request. And basically, we use those funds to offset other personnel services increases in the Parks Bureau. And finally, after all that, as I mentioned before, we have about $500,000 remaining in the compensation set aside. It's fiscally prudent, I think, to leave that in the compensation set aside for now in case there are any additional costs in the OEO related to fire retirements, police retirements, et cetera, that we may need to come back and access those funds.
So by policy, at the end of the fiscal year, does that money roll over to the next fiscal year comp set aside, or is it dropped
just
to the general
fund?
The
balance. Drops the general fund balance at the end of the fiscal year. Moving on to the mid-year reductions. The first is basically the Eon building tenant improvements. This is the general fund had done some improvements on the Eon building on behalf of the Rose Festival. Part of that agreement was the Rose Festival was going to repay the general fund monthly. A small amount per month as a repayment to the general fund. Those funds had erroneously been put into the facilities operating fund, and we had caught that, so facilities came forward and said these funds need to move to the general fund, so this is just a transfer of the resources collected so far in the facilities fund to the general fund. All future payments will be directly deposited in the general fund, so this is just a cleanup effort. The next item, recognizing BOAC underspending, this is something that we come back every year in the spring bump. This is last year's 14-15 emergency communications underspending, and we just request that those funds be transferred back to the general fund to be repurposed. City fuel station debt cash transfer. This is money that was budgeted for the fuel station debt. We're not expected to incur any debt in the current fiscal year, so that funding is being transferred back to all the bureaus. The $519,000 is the portion that comes back to the general fund, and then the other bureaus receive those cash transfers directly from the City Fleet Fund. And finally, the Sears building funding return. Council approved, I think, just over $1 million in the fall bump for the Sears building improvements, and about $789,000 of that was not spent in the current year, and so we're recommending that those funds be moved back into general fund contingency for the current year. Any questions on the mid-year reductions? We'll fly right through this. New requests. The majority of the new requests, as you can see, is about $900,000 for the park's phase one arbitration costs. And then we have another about $400,000 in new requests that are coming out of unrestricted contingency. It looks like it's about a $1.3 million request on contingency. But as I said, that $900,000 was set aside in policy reserves. So that's not coming out of unrestricted. That's coming out of the policy reserves bucket that was set aside in the fall bump by council. So of the requests, we have $25,000 for a sustainable industries assessment per the city's agreement with the C40 Climate Leadership Group. This is kind of part one of a Bureau of Planning sustainability request. We have $40,000 in the Bureau of Planning sustainability for inclusionary housing code updates. It's related to that new state legislation around inclusionary housing policies. We have the next three requests are not recommended and not moved forward by the mayor for City Hall updates for security related to the duress system, camera updates, and security staffing increases. The recommendation was that these projects be taken care of in the 16-17 adopted budget process. And we have the Portland B-Corps program set up. This was also a request for 16-17. This was just to start that project a little bit earlier, but we recommended, and the mayor has moved forward to, if there is going to be any funding for the B-Corps to move forward, that we would do that as part of the proposed and the adopted budget processes. $156,000 for the Portland Fire and Rescue related to the arbitration awards around the alternative payees, which I believe you guys had a discussion on this last week. So it's just allowing the funding for that. Portland Housing Bureau Inclusionary Housing Development and Outreach for $65,000. We mentioned the $900,000 for the parks arbitration costs. In Portland Parks and Recreation, expanded ranger coverage for the summer, a $100,000 request was not moved forward. This is a request made in the previous year. We feel that this is an ongoing request that should be addressed during the budget process, and therefore we didn't recommend that it move forward, and the mayor has not included that yet in his mayor's proposed bump either. And under Parks and Recreation for the Saturday Youth Basketball, these are funds that PPS has paid for the janitorial services related to this program in the past. They have since billed the Parks Bureau for the current year. There is a request on Parks for this program next year, but CBO believes that they can absorb, Parks can absorb those costs in the current year. And that can be visited again in the 16-17 budget requests. Police fair wage ordinance adjustment. This is police had some security contracts that they did not come forward in the fall bump to request as far as the fair wage policy when we had the funding set aside. So it wasn't allocated in the fall bump. They're coming back with that request now, which we've recommended. It'll also require an ongoing adjustment in the 16-17 budget as well, since they get those contracts up to the $15 minimum wage. The Oregon Nike Endowment is a request that came forward. I believe you voted on it last week. It's $25,000 for that. Springwater Corridor Special Appropriation for $40,000. And then finally, a PSU study on air toxins, I believe that Commissioner Novick has brought forward for $31,250. Questions on the requests?
Yeah, Jeremy, I had a question about the inclusionary housing development and outreach. Can you explain the $15,400 of economizing the CBO is recommending for that?
The difference between the $80,000 and the
$65,000. So the Housing Bureau also includes. Yes, my name is Jessica Kennard. I'm with the City Budget Office. The Housing Bureau also included in their request a request for, I think it was 0.17 of a position, a new position to finish out the year to work on this policy work, and that amounted to about $15,000. CBO believed that they could absorb those costs for that position in the current year, but we did include the FTE, so they will be able to hire that position.
And so the air toxics, I guess I'm like to know more about that
because
we have a request also from Southeast Uplift for some money to purchase air quality monitoring and using PSU and Reed College faculty. Is this related to that?
I think this is the same thing. Actually, Robert McCullough came in with Dr. George from PSU to talk about this proposal. They're also requesting money from the county in order to do this, and I believe that that Chair Kafouri has indicated that she's willing to support it. I'm just going to read from this thing because it states it better than I could. Building research capacity for understanding sustainable urban atmospheres. This project, led by Dr. Linda George and the Institute for Sustainable Solutions, PSU, builds on the study of metals and moss in Portland conducted by U.S. Forest Service researchers to more comprehensively assess metal dispersion and deposition using X-ray fluorescent analysis. Researchers will work with state and federal agencies in the community to select up to 6 sites over 2 years in the Portland metro area and sample air, soil, moss, and potentially indoor surfaces for metals.
Wasn't that proposal about $125,000?
The total expenses are anticipated to be about $100,000, but what they asked the city for was $31,000. I forget how much they asked the county for.
So this is the first I've heard of this. I'm wondering if we could partner with Portland Parks and Recreation because we were looking at testing our community gardens soils. Most of them have been tested already, but some have not. And so either we could have some of this testing be done in the community gardens in the areas, or I may be coming with another request for the costs of the additional soil testing.
Apologize that you hadn't heard about it before, but I'm sure that Dr. George would be happy to talk through that with you.
Moving on down the list into the program carryovers. Program carryovers for bureaus, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, are basically for one-time projects either started in the current year that they weren't able to finish, weren't able to get encumbered before the end of the year, or other one-time projects where funding can be carried over into next year to complete or more of a pilot programs. So I was planning on just kind of going over some of the things that we didn't recommend, but I'd be happy to go back over and go into a little bit more detail if you have specific questions on some of the additional packages. Overall, there's about $5.2 million in program carryovers. Some of those that we didn't recommend, the first one you can see in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability continuing projects into 16-17. We recommended a majority of the funding, but not for $130,000 related to the Sustainability and Smart Cities Initiative. This is a request for new funding and to carry over that funding. We didn't recommend the new funding. As you can see under the new requests, we also did not recommend the carryover funding. There are some housing requests that total about $417,000. These are currently encumbered funds within the Housing Bureau, so they'll be able encumbered funds, which means that those funds will be available for reappropriation in the fall bump. They'll be encumbered. They are encumbered currently, so there's no need for a program carryover at this point. They'll just rebudget those funds in the fall bump.
It sounds like six of one, half dozen the other. So could you just explain in layman's terms the two different approaches? Mm-hmm.
So an encumbrance carryover is where a bureau has entered into a contract or entered into a purchase order with a vendor, basically stating that they will purchase these services. And so at the end of the year, those contracts will show up as encumbrances. And the next year, what we do as part of the fall bump is we go back and we look at all the encumbrances that are still outstanding, and we rebudget those funds within the bureau's budget in the fall bump. With a program carryover, they're not at that stage yet of having a contract in place where they can encumber the funds. They're just stating that we have a project that we would like to move forward with.
So it sounds like the distinction really is about timing.
It is about timing, yeah. The program carryover funds we would take out now, and we would rebudget in the approved budget. With the encumbrance carryover, whatever is unspent at the end of the year will be rebudgeted next year.
And by taking with your current recommendation, you're not foreshadowing that you're going to be opposing an encumbrance in the fall bump, correct?
That's correct. There's, I would say, very limited times that we would oppose an encumbrance carryover. There's also $158,000 in the Portland Development Commission Small Business Working Capital that was not recommended, and we believe those funds will be encumbered by the end of the year as well, so similar situation. $49,000 in unspent innovation fund dollars in the current year. This is part of the $1 million of ongoing innovation funds. Any unspent, we just treat it similar to other unspent general fund dollars within the city, and then it just falls to balance. They do have $1 million of available grant money for next year as well to continue to reallocate as needed. And there's a portion of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's request for the NOIS program carryover. And do you have any additional details on that one?
Yeah, this was in relation to budget development recommendations. And so this is to help fund, bless you, this is to help fund an office support specialist too in the NOIS program on a one-time basis. The amount of funding that was actually needed was $43,000. The Bureau requested what they had traditionally carried over in the past, which was $56,000, but are in agreement that $43,000 is acceptable.
Are there any questions on the approved spring, the carryover requests? And then finally on the sheet, we move into the technical adjustments. This is basically the area where we are moving funds around within city bureaus, or which is the most part of it, or allocating out innovation fund grants. The majority of these are allocating about $480,000 in innovation fund grants. That money is in a special appropriation. As the funds are awarded during a bump process, we move that money from a special appropriation to the bureau that received the innovation fund grant. There's also a small amount, about $28,000, of Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative property tax revenues that will be transferred to PDC. So that's simply an increase in property tax revenues in the city, and we transfer those funds directly to PDC for those NPIs. And I believe that's the majority of all the requests and technical adjustments.
So I just want to call my colleagues' attention to the Resolutions Northwest funding, which we approved in the fall bump. It was in the mayor's budget, and I see here that it's being transferred to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. This is one-time funding, and we did hear at the budget forums that there's a request for ongoing, but because it wasn't in ONI's budget, it wasn't a request from ONI, so it's currently on nobody's list. Under technical adjustments, it awards the funding that we gave in the full bump, but then it transfers Resolutions Northwest to ONI.
Correct. So jumping off of this list, just kind of give you a brief overview of the position requests in the spring bump. BDS is requesting, the Bureau of Development Services is requesting about 23.5 new positions related to increased workload within the Bureau, or expected increased workload over the next time period, to make sure that they have the position authority that they can start working with HR to get those positions filled. The Housing Bureau is requesting an additional position for inclusionary housing policy work, and CBO is recommending that they absorb those costs within the current year. OMF is adding an additional position. Parks is converting three limited-term positions to permanent and adding an additional position. And Planning and Sustainability is converting a non-general fund position from limited-term to regular for the regular regulatory improvement code updates. Questions on positions? In total, it's about 26 and a half additional positions being added this month.
Almost all of them.
Yes, that's good. And then some of the larger non-general fund changes of note. BES revenue expense projections are such that the Bureau is budgeting an increase to their sewer system rate stabilization fund, an increase of they're budgeting an increase. Their expense projections are such that the Bureau is increasing their amount that's going into the rate stabilization fund by about $23.5 million for the current year. And those funds can be used in the future to help stabilize rates. We mentioned BDS, the new positions of BDS, and also the Fire, Police, Disability, and Retirement Board.
Can I just comment on that? We have made a supplemental proposal to the mayor to achieve a further rate reduction in the next fiscal year by drawing down a little bit on the rate stabilization fund and then allocating it proportionally in the out years.
And the final large thing to note, the Fire, Police, Disability, and Retirement Board has approved $2.6 million for a legal settlement for the case in order to pay the claimants in accordance with the terms of the settlement agreement. So they're moving that funding out of contingency. And that pretty much wraps up the high-level review of what's in the spring bump. Any questions?
I had a question about the special appropriation for the spring water corridor, $40,000. What is that?
I wonder if... Is Josh in the room, by chance?
Is that related? Okay.
Good morning. Josh Alpert, Mayor's Office. Commissioner Saltzman, that's the cost that Portland would share for the Oregon Solutions or Consensus process. I met on Friday with Steve Greenwood and his staff. They are putting together their recommendations. It's likely they're going to move forward with this. That was the cost it would take for the city to join. It'll be shared with the other jurisdictions as well.
So I'm curious, though, that why in the mayor's recommended bump there isn't the funding for the Rangers that would help implement any solution on the spring water?
I think Commissioner just requires a little bit more conversation before the vote next week to figure out exactly what would happen there. We weren't quite sure whether or not Oregon Solutions was going to take this on one way or another, and before we said, okay, well, let's try and figure out how we move more bodies in there, we should figure out first if they're going to do that. That just happened on Friday. I brought up the Rangers as a potential solution going into the summer as part of that process, and they agreed that that would be helpful as well.
I think regardless of whether there's an Oregon Solutions process, we're going to need additional staff, probably police and rangers, on the spring water, and that needs to be budgeted for.
I guess it's an all-time record. Before we close the record, I have two scheduling items I'd like to raise. So I won't be here next week. If there are any amendments to the bump that are going to be brought forward, and if Josh, if you believe there'll be a contested vote, would you let me know? And I'll arrange to call in to cast that vote. And also, colleagues, tomorrow afternoon, we're scheduled for 3 hours of time, I believe, for the comp plan. I'm anticipating we may have more people coming out. Is it tomorrow for the comp plan or Thursday? Excuse me, on Thursday. And so I had two questions. Does anyone... If you anticipate having a scheduling conflict after 5, could you let me know? Because we're anticipating quite a lot of people coming, and it may not be possible to complete the hearing by 5. And I'd like to get a sense of my colleagues of whether there's some flexibility. Some of you may already have events scheduled at 5, 6, 7, won't be able to be with us.
So you're right, Commissioner, it is tomorrow. And I have the Girls' Strength and Women's Strength volunteer recognition at 6, but it's just down the street, so I could stay till 10 till.
Steve, do you have a conflict after between 5 and 6 at this point? Well, you can let me know. As long as we have a quorum, we'll try to soldier through to get, you know, as much as possible. If for some reason we don't get through all the testimony, then that simply means that the following week we'll continue the hearing and the vote will just be postponed. So it's not the end of the world, but I want to see if we can get through everything on tomorrow afternoon.
Well, there was also the challenge that many of the people, the people who signed up last Thursday evening could testify first, but if you can come to an evening hearing, it's most likely that you can't come to a daytime hearing. So the mayor was looking at whether we could purposefully have some t- time after 5 that those who were working during the day could get their say.
Since I have the unfortunate task of chairing this hearing in the mayor's absence, and it's a very complicated hearing with all the moving pieces, I think whatever my colleagues want to do in terms of maximizing public engagement, let's agree to that. I'm willing to stay a little later. I'm just guessing some of my colleagues have conflicts. And again, if we can't get through all the testimony tomorrow afternoon, it just means we'll have to have we'll just use the hearing for next week, which I'm okay with because I wasn't going to be able to make that one either. So it would allow me to, would actually, Kurt and I are going to be in Denver. I would prefer to come back the following week and be able to vote. But
your calendar is always so refreshing, Commissioner.
So, but anyway, if you have scheduling issues, just let me know. And if you have ideas of how we can accommodate, as Commissioner Fritz said, people that may not be able to testify until after 5, let me know. We'll try to make that work. All right. I don't see any more. Do our citizen budget folks have any further questions or comments?
Because I was out of town, I was on the East Coast last week. How did it go at Alisot? We were kind of concerned about the street and the parking. Did it go okay?
It was fantastic. We had 300 people attend. And
that's what I was worried about.
It was pouring with rain, and it was.
But the parking and everything worked out. That's what we were, as a district, we were concerned about.
I haven't had any complaints. So I think it was somewhat challenging.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think the community really valued having it in that location in terms of being fairly central for folks.
Steve actually said it worked great at Peabody. They issued $5,000 worth of tickets. And so it was actually a banner day. So thumbs up. We had an amazing turnout, and everyone has a favorite, but one of my favorite was the mother-daughter on the arts. But we had lots of just wonderful testimony from people. And as always, it brings out the best in our community when we have those hearings.
Being on EPAP, I know how they orchestrate out there to make sure you get a good turnout on East County as we get more vocal every year. But people are getting more involved, especially our minorities. So.
I think the largest single contingent this time was World Cup Soccer. Commissioner Fritz, that was fantastic. That was surprising, but wonderfully surprising.
And that was something that when I became Parks Commissioner, I had some long conversations with Mike Abate, the director, and just so everybody knows it's a program, it's not an event. It goes throughout the year, has some terrific partnerships with mentors in the 5-year and others. So it's not a one-time, two-day event. It's part of the way of life for these student athletes, and I think it's fantastic. I did want to comment that in order to continue encouraging people to come to budget forums, requires some responsiveness from the council on hearing the advocacy and duly considering what they said. So since 95% of the testimony was about my bureaus, I hope that you'll all remember that.
One last scheduling matter. If any of my colleagues intend to bring amendments to the bump next Wednesday, as a courtesy, would you please circulate them on Tuesday before the Wednesday?
Just in response to Commissioner Fritz's last comment, I told my staff afterwards that I now realize the single most important program in the city is World Cup Soccer, and we will cut everything before we cut that.
Well, thanks to our crack budget team, thanks to our citizen volunteers and my colleagues, and the hearing is concluded.